listening to the C Word Radio, the podcast where we ask, what the fuck does young cancer survivorship mean? With me, Helen King, and guests. Subscribe and rate on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Hello, and welcome back to the C Word Radio podcast. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast app. Leave me a rating and review if you enjoy the show. And if you want to support what the C Word Radio is doing, consider becoming a monthly supporter for a cool $5 a month. I'll leave a link in the show notes if you would like to do that. When this episode goes to air on Planet FM, it will be Easter Sunday here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. So I hope wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you are full of chocolate and hot cross buns. Today's episode will be a continuation from our theme from last week of dealing with cancer during the COVID pandemic. It's basically two C's no one ever wants, let alone at the same time. Amanda Wallace joins us from deep in the US Midwest, from Idaho. She was diagnosed with leukemia in 2019 after experiencing flu-like symptoms. At the time, she was working at her local movie theatre, but once she was diagnosed, treatment happened at lightning speed. Amanda had a reoccurrence in 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic. And during our chat, we talked about the challenge of treatment in a pandemic, what people don't understand about survivorship, and why having cancer is a lot like being a fish in Finding Nemo. This is Amanda's story. I like asking people at the moment, because this is something I'm trying to figure out myself. I'd love to know, what does cancer survivorship mean to you?
Oh, boy.
I know, it's another big question.
Navigating survivorship reminds me of the Rainbow Road from Mario Kart. The reason why I said that is because at first, you know, you're starting off like on flat ground. And then actually what my oncologist says, it's like a marathon because you have to do, you know, make sure that you're in remission for 6 months. And then once that mark hits, you're like, hey, I'm going to, you know, try for a year. And once you get back to that 1 year, you're like, what do we do now? Because, you know, we're always expecting for the other shit to talk. So I guess it means a lot of different things to me. Like, it's happy, it's a good feeling that you survived cancer. But now that you have all these other issues that's happening, they did not prepare me for this at all. Because when we start doing treatment, they tell us if once we survive, we will have a whole lot of issues.
I agree so much with, especially with, they don't tell you about what you're going to encounter afterwards. And it was interesting because I was talking about this with someone, another cancer survivor, yesterday. I didn't realize I would still have neuropathy in my fingertips and that my dexterity wouldn't be what it's, that sort of stuff, that the ongoing for me body pain, the so many things, and that's just physical. And then you get into the dumpster fire that goes on in my head, and it's just no one wants to, that this is what part of cancer survivorship looks like.
Yeah, and it's, have you seen Finding Nemo?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically suspicious from a dentist's office in the ocean. It's like, what do we do now with all of these issues? And they're like, yeah, we still have appointments and whatever, but you guys are basically throwing us out and be like, good luck. And you're like, what do we do now? What do I do now?
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, I guess I'm on my own, but.
Yeah.
Thankfully, some of us do have a team that helps us all on the way.
Gosh, it's crazy, isn't it, how quickly it all happens once you hear you have cancer. It's like you suddenly shift into this high speed whirlwind of tests and doctor's appointments and scans and all of those sorts of things? Because I know with leukemia, it can be pretty immediate with the treatment.
I got one and I started chemo, I think, that Tuesday. It was 7 days of treatment. Oh, my Hickman. I got my Hickman put in that Monday, and I was not feeling it at all.
How long is the treatment for leukemia? How long were you in treatment?
For the induction chemo, I was in the hospital for a month and 3 days. And then I was able to do a week at the local hospital for chemo. I guess it depends on what your doctor wants, what kind of treatment your doctor wants you to go through. After the first month, I was declared in remission.
Wow.
Yeah. So the other chemos was maintenance chemos.
Yeah.
And then I was officially done with chemo that September of 19. I went back in the hospital because my Hickman got an infection, and then they're like, well, you're done with your Hickman anyways.
So you also had to have a bone marrow transplant, and I was really amazed when I was reading a little bit about your story that you went for 6 months. That's an incredible amount of time. So you had to travel from your home to another part of the country for that.
Yeah, I was in remission for 6 months until it came back. Of course, in the middle of the pandemic.
Of course.
Of course, you know, my cancer is like, well, you're stuck at home anyways, might as well, you know, make a new appearance. And so I was in and out of the hospital that summer of 20. And then my dad took my mom and I to Seattle for 6 months until I got, and then I got my bone marrow biopsy. My bone marrow stem of transplant done the 14th of December of 2020.
I guess for people who haven't had leukemia or been through that stuff, it's quite a big procedure, isn't it, having those transplants?
Yeah, and because most people don't realize that the chemo that you have to have for the week before the transplant are the deadly doses of chemo.
Gosh, yeah.
I was halfway done with the treatment. I was like, can you just call it done for now and just let me rest? I'm like, no, you need to finish up the treatments. I'm like, I don't want to, but I'm glad I did.
Yeah, that so resonates with me. I think, like, your body really breaks down. My experience was that it felt
connecting to local and global Niue communities.
That fatigue of, oh my gosh, like, can I go through another round of this? And it's so relentless.
Yeah, and not only that, it's just the chemo brain. You don't realize how fast chemo affects your brain. After the first day, my brain was like, yep, we're going back in chemo mode.
So, I mean, 2020 was a huge year for you in so many ways. And you're in the midst of a pandemic. You're having to deal with cancer. Did you basically have to lock your life down because of COVID and things?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, it was weird because that December before the pandemic broke out, my doctor was like, do you want to go back to work? And I'm like, I work at a movie theater and there's the flu season, which is really big at the theaters and at the cinemas. So I was like, no. And then we revisited the topic. And I think that March, and I was like, if the pandemic wasn't happening, then probably, but the pandemic is happening. So I'm like, no. But yeah, I pretty much locked down my life.
What's that been like for you to have to sort of lock everything down and not go out and that those sorts of things?
It sucks because there are movies I want to see, especially now. I want to see the new Spider-Man, but I'm like, I can't. Because we're still in a pandemic, and where I live, people aren't really safe. I'll just watch it at home. It's fine.
Yeah. I think that's something people don't understand. When you've been through something like cancer, or you're in the middle of it, that you just don't want to risk getting COVID. You know, it's just like, I've had one serious disease. Thanks. I'm not dealing with another.
Yeah, it's like, no, thank you. I don't want to go back in the hospital and be like, hi guys, especially to the nurses who treated you during cancer, even during my second round of chemo. When I relapsed, I ended up having a really bloody nose, and I had those big rhino rockets up my nose. And I remember one of the nurses who treated me my first round of chemo, my second round, and she's like, are you getting back? And I'm like, I had a bloody nose. I tried to stay away, but my body said differently.
Oh my God. It's just, yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's hard to describe to people how much your life changes when you've had a cancer diagnosis. I had cancer a bit before you, so 2018, but I was thinking about this last night, that you go into remission and that sort of stuff, and the doctors are like, okay, go and live your life, and you're trying to figure out what normal is, because it just doesn't seem to exist anymore. And then the pandemic happens, and it's, how am I expected to figure out what normal is in this? This is just insanity.
Yeah, and then they don't tell you that you have problems afterwards because of what the chemo does to your body and the medications.
Yeah.
So you're like, can't live my life right now, guys. I can't go back to my old normal. And you're trying to figure out what's your life now with the issues. It's been a ball.
Yeah, absolutely. You've had part of your treatment during the pandemic and having to lock down and that sort of thing. What have friendships been like for you during this time? Have your friends been supportive? Have you been able to maintain connections with people?
I have had a few friendships when I had pre-cancer, and they're still going strong. Yeah. And then I had this one friend who was really short with me after, because I reached out to her after my transplant, and she was really short with me. It's not my fault that I ghosted. I had to save my life. And even with those friendships, you're like, yeah, I can see us being friends long term, but they show their true colors in a way.
It's, you know, it's really interesting in a way, because so many people I've spoken to have had this experience. And I think that cancer really confronts people. Most people, especially when we're younger, when we get cancer, it's just not what you're thinking about of what might happen. Yeah. And so all of a sudden we're dealing with stuff that our peers, and I think that's really difficult, because I don't know about you, but I times have found it really difficult to even relate to people anymore. You mentioned you're fighting for your life, and you come out the other end, and it's just like, I don't recognize life anymore.
I've been feeling better about that, but that's how I was feeling when we came home from Seattle back in March, is how everything has changed, but it really hasn't really changed while you're going through this life-saving process of the stem cell transplant, and you're like, I'm a stranger in my own life. I would talk to my mom about it, because she was with me when I went through my stem cell transplant. How can you relate to these people who obviously are excited for you to be home? But I do have a funny, well, it's not really a funny story, but it's kind of funny to me, because I have a cousin who just adores my mom and I. We grew closer because she took care of my grandfather. But when we told her that there's a package for her, which was my mom and I, because we didn't tell anyone that we were going home except for my dad. So when she saw my mom and I, she almost took me out, and I was lying on the floor because of the steroids that make my legs weak. So I was, she's not excited to see me at all. Take me down, it's fine. I didn't really want to see you standing up anyway. But it's just, that meant a lot to me.
I guess people respond in such different ways. What do you think has been the most challenging aspect of life post-cancer diagnosis?
Oh boy.
Just a small question. Just narrow it down.
I was like, I have a long list in my head. Most people don't realize that we gain weight after treatment.
Yes.
And so it's the weight gain for me. You tell that you're doing great because, you know, you're taking all the medications like you're supposed to, but you're like, I'm getting weight, have to buy new clothes, which I don't mind, but can I like go back to my original weight?
That so resonates with me because, yeah, I didn't put on weight during chemo, which was fine, but I got quite bloated because of the steroid and that sort of stuff that they give you. And I remember someone saying to me, oh, I thought people, like cancer patients, were meant to be really skinny. I'm thinking,
right?
A, F you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's not real. Sometimes, yeah, TV goes through it, but
yeah.
On the other hand, they don't.
I was thinking like movies and TV have really done a disservice to people who go through cancer because, like, sure, some people do really break down and stuff, but most of us get really bloated.
Yeah. Even my own father stared at me after I got out of the hospital after my transplant because of my moon face. So my mom had to say something. My mom's like, that's for the meds. And, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was even afraid to go home because of my moon face. But I'm like, you look at it this way, you could be like Baymax from Big Hero 6 where you come home and be on the steroids. You're like, hey, I'm Baymax. So. Yeah. That's fine with me.
There's something you said about this as well that I thought was such a strong statement, and I relate to it as well, that coming home from Seattle after your transplant and you felt like an alien in your own life, that sums it up so well. Explain a little bit about what was it like coming home and having this huge event and trying to, yeah, I guess, get back into life.
At first, it was good because I was, we were finally home, and I'm like, I can finally sleep in my own bed. But then as soon as we stayed and whatever, I'm like, what did I miss for 6 months?
Yeah.
Because we have one restaurant moved. I was basically, at first it didn't affect me at all, but then slowly it started to affect me. Per se, I miss so much. What is my friends into now? What does my dad like? It was weird. I felt like a transplant in itself because here I was 6 months prior having to leave, put my life in pause, freeze my life, go away for 6 months, and then come back afterwards as a new person. And you're like, what should I be doing? In a kind of way, if that makes any sense.
Oh my God, it makes perfect sense. It makes so much sense. And it's just as you've been talking, like it does get better. It has got better for me. Yeah, it's hard to describe, but I do know exactly what you're talking about. It's that feeling that something huge has happened and you've been altered. It's just you can't go back to that person you were pre-cancer because they don't exist anymore. Because you had this huge thing happen to you and now you're trying to figure out how do I do life.
Yeah, and you basically have to be like, okay, what was my old habits? Do they make me feel joyful? Or what can I do to have that sense of this is who I was, a little bit of who I was before cancer? And you try to apply that and it doesn't fit.
Yes.
So you're kind of like a Tetris game where you're like, hey, I have to figure out what does fit in my new life compared to my old one, in a way.
And I guess as well, on top of that, there's the pandemic, which has altered. Because here at the time we're recording this in New Zealand, we're just starting to get Omicron in the community. You know, the government messaging has changed. We've gone back into our traffic light system at red, which basically means you have to be wearing a mask and not just a like hardcore masks any time you go out. You have to show your vaccine pass to get into most places. You know, life feels quite crazy and it's really hard to anchor yourself. And it reminds me so much of that time just after treatment because, yeah, you can't anchor yourself in anything. Nothing really feels the same anymore.
to know, either once, whenever the pandemic ends, everyone's going to be like, okay, we don't need to wear a mask outside. We don't need to wear a mask in the building.
Yeah.
And then you have us, the immune-compromised community. Nothing really changes in a way because we have to, you know, watch out or else back on in the hospital. Okay. This is on your life now. Okay.
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there that I think people are going to find, however this pandemic ends or what's going to happen, is that we can't go back to pre-COVID. Like, that just can't exist anymore. And so we are all going to have to figure out what does post-COVID look like? What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything's going to change in that way. And part of me feels like, well, this is what the cancer community has been dealing with for a very long time.
Yeah. It's like, welcome to our lives. It's not wonderful, but at least now what we feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. Because so you obviously going back to work, the movies is not, or the cinema is not going to work at the moment. Hey, can you imagine going back to a different job, or when you can, do you have plans for what you want to do?
I'm definitely going to go to a different job because I am 30 and most of the people who work there are like teenagers.
Yes.
I've done my part of high school and I don't want to go back there.
Yeah.
As much as I love the managers and everyone who has been really understanding these past almost 3 years, but I think I like to write, and so I actually wrote for the school newspaper at my college when I was in undergrad. So I might find something to do with writing.
Oh, awesome.
When I'm able to, or find like a job with benefits, because I need benefits, that good old medical.
It's hard for Kiwis to get our heads around the way that the American health system works, because here we have a public health system, which isn't perfect, but you know that if you get cancer, you can get treated. So that's kind of a given in that way. It still blows my mind how the American health system works.
Yeah, we fought tooth and nail for me to get covered.
Yeah.
Because I was not getting, so there's like requirements for my state medical, and I was not going to do two of those things. And I'm like, no, I really need medical.
Yeah.
Definitely have to find a job with good medical.
That's awesome, though, to think about, you know, finding something and writing and starting a new chapter. And then I thought, oh, that's a terrible dad joke.
What a terrible dad joke.
Moving right along. Have you been able to connect in or find other younger cancer survivors for support?
I found some on Instagram. That has been a really good support system. Definitely social media. And because my clinic here where I live is basically, there's some younger adults, but it's mainly older adults that go to the clinic here. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. Not really. It makes me feel like a 30-year-old who goes out to like a nightclub for like a mid-30 person.
Yeah.
And you go out to the club and you try the blend in, and you're like, no.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
These aren't my people.
Yeah. These are not my people.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. I remember after I'd finished up treatment, and I really needed to get back to work, get an income coming in. All the support groups were during the day, and it just amazed me that they just didn't seem to get that, no, I can't just, like, get away from work and come and sit in the support group.
I've been told about a few support groups, but haven't really looked at them. But I mainly talk to a few people on Instagram or Facebook or any way I can about what's, you know, what I'm going through now.
Amanda, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you and hear more about your experience and trying to answer what is young cancer survivorship, which is like trying to, I don't know, herd cats, but it is cool hearing different people's experiences and, yeah, being able to connect with them and sort of feel like it's normal to feel like a mess.
Mm-hmm. It's fine to feel like a dumpster fire. It's normal.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, that meme where it's the cartoon dog sitting in the fire, like the house is on fire, and the dog's like, it's fine, it's fine.
Yeah, this is fine. I actually like that one a lot because everyone uses that.
Yeah.
And everyone knows how to use that one. I'm like, I love that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you for so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. The C Word is every Sunday at 11:55 a.m. on Auckland's 104.6 Planet FM. And anytime at www.planetaudio.org.nz/the C Word.
is how we do it. It's Friday night and I feel alright. The party's here on the west side, so I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shop cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets, say money, oh we made it. It feels so good in my hood tonight. The summertime skirts up like eyes and can I. All the gangbangers forgot about the drive-by. You gotta get your groove on before you go get paid. So tip up your cup and throw your hands up and let me hit a party. Say, I'm kind of buzzed and it's all because
this is how we do it.
South Central does it like nobody does.
This is how we do it.
To all my neighbors, you got much flavor.
This is how we do it.
Let's flip the track in the old school band.
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it. All hands are in the air and wave on from here to there. If you're an OG Mac or a wannabe player, you see the hood's been good to me ever since I was a lowercase G. But now I'm a big G. The girls see I got the money, $100 bills, y'all. If you were from where I'm from, then you would know that I gotta get mine in a big black truck. You can get yours in a 6-4. Whatever it is, the party's underway. So tip up your cup and throw your hands up and let me hear the party say, I'm kind of buzzed, it's all because
this is how we do it.
South Central does it like nobody does.
This is how we do it.
To all my neighbors, you got much flavor.
This is how we do it.
Let's flip the track, bring the old school back.
This is how we do it.
I'm kind of buzzed, it's all because on a dime in 94. Montel make no money and life show us slow. And all they said was 6'8 he stood. And people thought the music that he made was good. Then let the DJ and Paul was his name. He came up to money, this is what he said. You and OG are gonna make some cash. Sell a million records and we're making the dash. Oh, I'm buzzing the club.
This is how we do it.
Sounds like
truth
doesn't like nobody does.
This is how we do it.
I'll never come back on an old school track.
This is how we do it.
I'm kind of buzzed, so because
this is how we do it.
So central does it like nobody does.
Nobody
does. Oh, it's party time.
This is how we do it.
Straight up coming from the west side.
This is how we do it.
Oh, she's got some flavor, yeah.
I do it for the love. do it for the all. I do it for the all. Please don't get me wrong. I wanna keep it moving. I know what that requires. I'm not foolish. Please can you make this work for me? Cause I'm not a puppet. I will work with you. I tend to close the door. I never want to know. So sing with me. Can't you see? I don't know. I do it for. I do it for the love. I don't know. I do it for. I do it for the love. I do it for the love.
Measurements were 36, 25, 34. Yeah. I like the way you brush it, and I like the your style is close your way. I like the way the light hit the ice and glint. I can see you moving way over there. If you wanna go and take a ride with me, we dream looking at the floor with the goldies. Oh, vouchers on the boosters, bringing nothing back. You should feel the impact. Shopping with plastic. When the sky's the limit and them haters can't get past that. Watch me as I gas that. Four got six rain. Once again, it can't change. Every time I switch lanes, it feels strange now. Making a living on my brain instead of cane now. I got the title from my mama, took the whip in my own name now. Damn, shit can change now. Running credit checks with no shame now. I feel the fame, come on. I can't complain no more. Shit, I'm the main now. In and out, my own town. Pictures out of New Jersey from Courtney B. Telling me about a party up in NYC. And can I make it? Damn right, I'll be on the next flight. Pay cash,
first class,
sitting next to Vanna White. Come on.
If you wanna go and take a ride with me, we dream willing on the phone with the goldies. Oh, why do I live this way?
Hey,
if you wanna go and get high with me, smoke a L in the back of the Benzie. Oh, why must I feel this way?
Hey,
if you wanna go and take a ride with me, we dream willing on the phone with the goldies. Oh,
tell ya, you won't believe how many people strayed out of the flow. Most said that I was a failure, but now the same motherfuckers asking me to do. Now I'm yelling, I can't help ya. Yo, Nelly, can we get tickets to the next show?
Hell no.
Now that I'm a fly guy and I fly high, niggas wanna know why. Why I fly by? But yo, it's all good. Range Rover all wood. Do me like you should. Fuck me good, suck me good. Maybe them stud niggas. Wishing you was niggas. Popping like the drug dealer. Sipping Chrissy Bud Mackin. Honey in the club. Me in the Benz. Icy Chris. Telling me to leave with you and your friends. So if Shorty wanna knock, we knocking the diss. And if Shorty wanna rock, we rocking the diss. And if Shorty wanna pop, we popping the Chris. Shorty wanna see the ice, then I ice the wrist. City talk, Nelly listen, Nelly talk. City listen, wanna fuck fly bitches when I walk. Pay attention, see the ice in the glitz. Niggas stir, know they diss. Honey's look, know they wish. Come on, boo, give me a kiss, come on.
If you wanna go and take a ride with me, we dream really need to go with the goldies. Oh, why do I live this way?
Hey,
if you wanna go and get high with me, smoke a L in the back of the Benzie. Oh, why must I feel this way?
Hey,
if you wanna go and take a ride with me, we dream really need to go with the goldies. Oh, why do I live this way?
Hey,
if you wanna go and get high with me, smoke a L in the back of the Benzie. Oh, why must I feel this way?
I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. For me.
Next to the narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my ties, sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee, tell by my attitude that I most definitely from. With OG at a Yankee game. Shit, I made the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee king. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of niggas walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot. Corners where we selling rock. Africa been by the shit. Home of the hip hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners, it ain't fair. They act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked. City is a pity. Half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug special, and I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. Three dice CeeLo, three card Marvin. Labor Day parade, rest in peace, Bob Marvin. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King, yo. I'm from the Empire State. That's is blinding. Girls need blinders so they could step out of bounds quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties who sip the life casually then gradually become worse. Don't fight the apple eve. Caught up in the in crowd. Now you're in style and in the winter gets cold. In vogue with your skin out. City of sin is a pity on a whim. Good girls going bad. The city's filled with them. Mommy took a bus trip. Now she got a bust out. Everybody ride her just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city. You're a virgin. And Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church in. Came here for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. MDMA got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.
Community Connection, planetaudio.org.nz.